Shalom, everybody. We have an interesting topic today. As usual, Rav Kook has a unique way of looking at the Levi'im. Everybody knows the Kohanim are a special tribe of people. Everybody knows that most Jews, are just regular Yisraels. But in the middle, there is what's called the Levi'im. And the question is how to relate to them. My son-in-law is a Levi, and one of my grandsons introduces himself as a Levi, right? He's 4 years old. He introduces, proud to be a Levi. And the biggest role of Levi'im in day-to-day actions in the synagogue is to wash the hands of the Kohen, which isn't such a special task. Yeah, they get a lot of aliyahs to the Torah, the second aliyah. But what we're going to do today, Rav Kook is going to talk about the difference between the Kohanim and the Levi'im. Let's see it inside. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, reads as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, Askara ba le'olam al ha-ma'aser. That Askara, that's a sickness that we spoke about also last week, that causes the swelling of the throat, that makes it difficult to breathe, makes it difficult to speak. So the rabbis tell us that it's sort of a punishment or a sign that people are not giving the tithe to the Levi. Now, everybody knows that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when the tithes were midoraita, there are 24 things that we would give to the Kohen, and Ma'aser, one-tenth, we give to the Levi. Because the Kohanim and the Levi'im did not have a share in Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't be farmers to produce, so we supported them, and the Kohanim and Levi'im, they were the teachers, they were like the rabbis in the olden days, and what's interesting, and that's what Rav Kook is going to talk about, Ma'aser is on a much lower level than Truma. Truma that we give to the Kohen, if another person who's not a Kohen eats it, he's chayav mitah, he's deserving of death. Truma is kodesh. You have to do netilat yadayim, you have to purify yourself in the mikvah before taking off truma, before touching truma, before eating truma. On the other hand, ma'aser that we give to the Levim is on a much lower level. It's, theoretically, it could be eaten by anyone. Even if you're not a Levi and you eat ma'aser, you don't get a punishment. And that's why it's strange that this sickness of askara is the punishment for somebody not taking off, or the people not taking off the 10% to give to the Levi. Because it's really not as important as all of the truma and trumat ma'aser and bikurim and all of the 24 gifts that we give to the Kohen. So it's interesting, it's an opportunity for Rav Kook to talk about what's the big deal about the Levi'im and ma'aser, the 10% that we set apart for giving the Levi. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi Omer, al lashon hara. He says that askara, this choking, is a sickness that comes as a result, or as a sign, or as a punishment for people gossiping, people lying, people not talking properly. And here we come to question number two. What is the common denominator between the ma'aser that we give to the Levi and the askara and the lashon hara that is the same punishment? That's question number two. And then the Gemara continues, Amarava v'itema Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Maikra, what is the pasuk where we learn this out from? That askara, that this choking or being hoarse, having it difficult to speak, is the punishment, is not clear for what? That's one of the things that Rav Kook is going to talk about. Is this the punishment just for gossiping? Right, that's what we just said. Or is it also going back to those who don't give the tithe to the Levi? Rav Kook is going to suggest that it goes on both. There. So what is the pasuk? There's a verse in Tehillim 63. Vamelech yismach be'elohim. The king will rejoice with God. Yitalel kol hanishbabo, and will be happy, will praise all those, will sing all those who swear in the name of God, who hold it holy. Ki yisacher pi dovre sheker. But those who speak falsehood, their mouths will be damned. Damned, D-A-M-M-E-D. That it will be stuffed up. And the word askara, this throat problem, this throat sickness, is from the same root as yisacher, that their speech will be jammed up. Okay, let's see what Rav Kook does with this. Paragraph 2. Rav Kook in Einaya, chapter 2, Siman Resh Mem Vav, 246. Keshem she'adam yesh lo tzorachim chomriyim rabim. Just like a person has a lot of physical and materialistic needs. We need to eat, we need to drink, we need shelter, we need a place to sleep, etc. Mikom akom akoach haklali haomed birosh lechol inyanav veozro ladbia al chayav ota tzura haenoshit hareuya lo hu koach hadibur haruchani. With all due respect and the importance, Rav Kook is not belittling the importance of our physical needs, but he is saying the essence of life is our speech, and especially our good speech. We spoke last week, if you remember, about the importance of speech. We spoke about the power of words. We spoke about how much words can hurt and how much words can help. We spoke about how a compliment is something that you can remember 50 years later. On the other hand, somebody embarrasses you with words, you also remember it 50 years later. You can shame a person that can bring him to suicide. So the power of speech, like we saw last time, I brought it here again, in source number 6, the Pasuk in Mishlei, 18:11, Mavet v'chayim biyad lashon, v'o'aveh yochal pirya. That life and death is in the hand of speech. And Rav Kook, being positive, says that the main point of a good life is good speech. Spiritual speech. Haba davka mitzad ma'alato he'olyona. That power which comes from man's godly side. Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Chagiga that man is like a god in three things, like angels in three things, and he's like an animal in three things. And one of the things that he's like angels and also like God is that in addition to having free will, we also have speech. Right? We may have mentioned last time, but this time we can see it inside. When God creates man, different from the rest of creation, in source number 4 in Bereshit, chapter 2, Pasuk 7, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min Adama, and God created man from the dust of the earth, Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim, and God breathed into man the godly spirit, a spark of his godly self, he breathed into man. Vayhi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. And man became a living soul. What does that mean, a living soul? Look underneath in unculus. We know unculus is the literal Aramaic translation. Here, he translates it, what does it mean, the living soul? He translates it as l'ruach mimalala. The power of speech. The power of speech is a godly power, and that is the essence of man, not his materialism, but his speech, and especially his spiritual speech. Chenu bichlaluta adam. This is true, back to paragraph 2 Aleph. This is true regarding the individual. This is true about mankind in general. Vehauma Yisraelit bifrata, and especially the nation of Israel, who are considered human beings squared, we're more human than human. Or in the words I've mentioned in the past of the satirist, Sam Levinson, he says, Jews are just like everybody, just more so. Right? Jews are the more extreme to the right, more extreme to the left, more extreme on any direction. So if the essence of people is their speech, how much more so the essence of the Jewish people? And that is, we spoke last time about the Hebrew language, which is unique to the Jewish people, the holy language. And we spoke about prophecy, which is unique to the Jewish people. These aspects of, speech put the Jewish people in a different role. And especially, and Rav Kook is getting into the main point, especially regarding the holy people, the teachers who are going to teach and raise the next generation and all of the Jewish people. That is the Kohanim and the Levim. They were the teachers of Torah. So they have, their speech is especially important. V'zeu yesod kedushat ma'aser. This is the importance of the holiness of ma'aser, the 10% that we used to give to the Levi. Liman yuchlu amod b'nei shevet Levi al mishmeret ha'kodesh. So that the tribe of Levi could dedicate their lives to teaching Torah and to serving in the Beit HaMikdash. Notice, again, we're talking about the Levites. The Kohanim also taught Torah. The Kohanim also worked, served in the Holy Temple. So what's the difference between the Levites and the Kohanim? Here we're getting to the main point. Paragraph 2, Bet. Omnam. Yeshna hashpa'a bilti murgeshet. Hashpa'as gulit. In life, there are certain things that have a unseen influence. There are certain things which are unseen. Here he's talking about the Kohanim, who nobody sees the sacrifices that they do in the Holy Temple. They do it far away from the human eye. The Kohanim, even today, when they say every day, in Israel every day, Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessing, we're not allowed to look at them. And the idea is that the Kohen is the hidden spirit inside the Beit HaMikdash. Also, when we spoke about the Mishkan, in the book of Bamidbar, the book that talks about the traveling with the tabernacle in the desert, Shevet Kahat, the Kohanim come from them, they carry the inside, the holiest vessels. That is the Ark of the Torah, the Menorah, the Holy Table, all of the holy vessels. That is the job of the Kohanim, of the people of Kahat. What is the job of the Levim? It's more of an outside role, something that we see externally, as opposed to the Kohen, who their job is the internal holiness. So Rav Kook is saying again to Bet that there is the certain type of hashpa'ah, of influence, which you don't see, which is far from the eye. Hi miyuchedet biyichud lekohanim ha-mekudashim, shegam ba'avodot shein davar shebachashai, kiktoret, right, the special incense that they would burn in the Beit HaMikdash, it was mamash inside, not in the Holy of Holies, but it was right outside the Holy of Holies, and we could smell it from afar, but we did not see it being sacrificed. Hem osim rav tuv lebeit Yisrael. The Kohanim do important work for the people of Israel. They are our shlichim. They are our messengers. We, Israelites, can't give sacrifices. We can't go into the Holy Temple. So the Kohanim, behind the curtains, they do the unique, special segula work. The highest of levels, that of the Kohanim, who some of them, the Kohen Gadol, can even go into the Holy of Holies, and the other ones can go inside of the temple. And they get 24 priestly gifts. They are the highest level, and that's why the Kohanim are not allowed to come in contact with a dead person. and are not allowed to even marry a gerusha, a divorced woman. And the classic explanation why a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorced woman is because anyone who's undergone a divorce knows that it is traumatic. And a divorced woman has undergone what's called today in Hebrew a srita, a deep scratch. And therefore, we protect the Kohanim as much as possible from trauma. Even a Kohen who has a blemish, who is missing a finger, who has a mum, a blemish on his face, he cannot do the work, even inside the Beit HaMikdash, even if nobody's going to see it. Because the Kohanim are on a specially high level. Zoti kidushata truma miyuchadet lekohanim. That is the gift that we give to the Kohen, the truma, which is 1/50th, 1/40th, 1/60th. It's a lot less, noticed, it's a lot less than the Levi. Aval, lo teitzei ashpa'az gulita yoter elyona litchaber elam. But the Kohanim are not in direct contact with the people. Ima klal kulo, with the masses. Ki imal yedei chabruta geluya, this is where the Leviim come in. The Levites are an in-between between the Kohanim on the one hand and the regular Jews, the other 12 tribes on the other hand. In the middle, the glue, which glues the aristocrats of the Kohuna with the farmers of Israel, in the middle are the Levites, who are a go-between. That they do have a certain level of holiness, but they can marry anybody they want. They don't have to be clean of blemishes. They will see that there are certain things that a Levi has to be careful about. But in general, what is the job of the Levites? It is external. They schlep, who is it, Gershon, would schlep the yiriot, the sheets, and the tent of the Mishkan, and the masach, and the parochet of the Mishkan. Not the holiest, but second holiest. And then they have Merari, who I always remembered from my childhood. Merari is from the word mar, bitter. They have the bitter job, right? They have to schlep the heaviest krashim. They have to schlep the heaviest wooden boards. And they are seen outside more than the Kohanim. Right, true. Okay, shel hashpa gluya ba mipulot midiburim kaele hanishmeim v'niknim b'lev kol agoy kulo. Who is the regular holy speaker? It's not the Kohen. His main job is hidden in the Beit HaMikdash. The average everyday rabbi in the olden days, he was the Levi. Also, if you would go to Yerushalayim and you would enjoy the holy temple and the beauty of it, you would also hear the singing of the Levi. You would see the Leviim playing their instruments. In other words, the Kohanim are inside, hidden. The Israelites are outside. The Leviim are the go-between. And their voice, whether it be in song, whether it be in playing, whether it be in teaching Torah, theirs is the voice which brings holiness, which, again, speech is that which is holy, that which brings out the most of a person. And the people who are in charge of speech in day-to-day life of ancient Israel are the Leviim. Paragraph Gimel. Miniyata hakara shel tzorech hashpa'a ruchanit hagluya. If people don't pay the ma'aser, if they don't give the 10% to the Levi, they're preventing the Levi from doing their job. Now, what is the job of the Levi? again. In the meantime, we said they are the go-between and between the Kohen and the Yisrael. But how does this go-between work? We know that there are 12 tribes and Levi. In other words, with Levi, it's 13 tribes. Now, anybody who knows even a drop of Kabbalah, even if you don't know any Kabbalah, we all know that the number 13 is Echad. Aleph, Chet, Dalid. Aleph is 1, Chet is 8, Dalid is 4. It equals 13. Also, Ahava, love. Aleph, He, Bet, He is the number 13. And the number 13 in Judaism is not an unlucky number, like by the Christians. In Judaism, it's Davka, a good number. The Shlosh Esrei Midot, the 13 character traits of God. The 13 ways of learning out. The 13 ways of belief, right? But you only, what completes Am Yisrael to be the 13 is when you have the 12 tribes and Shevet Levi. The term Levi, the word Levi, is lilavot, to accompany. Where what Rav Kook is deducing beautifully, that his name Levi is not just because his mother Leah said, Hapam yilaveni ishi, now Yaakov, my husband, will accompany me because I've given him 3 sons. But the idea of accompanying is, again, Levi is in the middle. The Levim accompany the Kohanim. They wash their hands, they help them in the Beit HaMikdash, they do the dirty work for the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash and in the Mishkan. So the Levi accompanies the Kohen, but the Levi also accompanies the Israelites. He accompanies the other 12 tribes, because again, he's in the middle to combine the aristocratic Kohanim and the farmers of Israel. Very often we mention the Levi, the Torah, usually when it mentions the Levi, it's in the context of, don't forget to give money to the poor, to the widow, to the orphan, and to the Levi. Again, the Levi is associated with the lower class. He accompanies even the lower class because he is the unsung hero of the Beit HaMikdash. He is the one who's doing all the schlepping. He is washing the hands of the Kohen. And what the Levi represents is, on the one hand, we see him more than we see the Kohanim. Usually the heroes you don't see. You see the unsung heroes, who in our case, the Levim, they're the singing heroes, but they are less sung than the holy Kohanim. And the idea of the Levi is functional. He's very pragmatic, as opposed to the Kohen, who deals with the spiritual. Let's look together in source number 3, where the Rambam brings the laws of the Levi. And as we've seen many times in Rav Kook, the more Torah knowledge you know, the more you understand what Rav Kook is referring to. If you understand the laws of the Levi, it'll also help you understand the spiritual symbolism that Rav Kook is talking about. Let's look together. All of this is in the Rambam and the laws of the Klei Mikdash, the holy vessels, chapter 3, Halacha Bet. Avodah Shelehen, the service of the Levim in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, Hu Sheyesh Shomrin Et HaMikdash. Number 1, they were on guard duty to protect the Mikdash. By the way, even in Yemot HaMashiach, when we won't have any enemies, and nobody will want to harm the Mikdash or steal anything from the Mikdash, there still are going to be an honor guard, like Lahavdil outside of Buckingham Palace in London. You have an honor guard. That's the Levim. They are an honor guard. Even though they're not really defending it from anyone, they are there to show respect. Again, to show respect. People see the Levi externally. V'yumen shoarim, liftoach sharei amigdash, ulagiv daltotav. Second job of the Levi, in addition to being the honor guard, they also open the doors and close the doors. Again, the door is the ma'avar, the place of transition between the people outside and the Kohanim inside. Again, the Levi is right in the middle. V'yumen meshorerin, the Levim, they are the singers. My father-in-law, Zichrono Livracha, had a nice voice. He was a Levi. I remember the Chazan of our shul in Riverdale. He was a Levi. My son-in-law is a Levi. And my grandsons, the Levim, they enjoy singing. Maybe they'll be singers in the Holy Temple. Again, singing is something that you do outside, and people hear it outside. Where do they sing al korban when the sacrifice was given? B'chol yom, on every day. Shne'emar v'shiret b'shem Hashem lokav kechol echav halavim. What does it mean, and he will serve? What is that he will serve in the name of God? To serve is to sing. In other words, we are serving God. God doesn't need meat. Nevertheless, the Kohanim give him sacrifices. God doesn't need our singing either. But singing is more spiritual than sacrifices, than meat. Continues the Rambam in Halacha Gimel. Umatai omrim ashira? When was the shira sung? Al kol olot hatzibur hachova. On all of the public, community, national sacrifices. Again, the Levim are milavim. They accompany the people of Israel. Whenever there is a national sacrifice, the Levim are there to accompany it. Halacha Zayin. And here's another aspect of the Levim. Ein ben Levi nichnas la'azara lavodato. A Levi cannot enter the temple to do service ad sheyilamdu chamesh shanim tchila, until he spends 5 years practicing. Practicing guard duty, practicing playing instruments, practicing singing. Shne'emar, as it says, zot asher la'alvi'im miben chamesh ve'asrim shana. Interesting. The pasuk says that the Levi'im begin their service in the temple at the age of 25. V'katuv echad omer miben shloshim shana. But another verse tells us that they start at the age of 30. So, is it 25 or 30? The oral law teaches us, ha-ketzad, chamesh lilmod, they need 5 years to learn their job. Ve'no nichnas la'avodat shi'agdil v'ye'ish shenemar ish ish al avodato. Notice, a Kohen doesn't have this 5-year stage period. Because the job of a Levi is functional. You have to make sure he knows exactly what to do. 5 years of practicing. Halacha Chet, a similar idea. Ze she'ne'emar b'Torah b'Leviim u'ben 50 shana yashuv mitzvah avodah, that Leviim can only serve in the temple until the age of 50. Again, from age 30 to age 50. It's not lived that long, 20 years. This was only in the time of the Mishkan and the Tabernacle, where the Levi'im did a lot of schlepping, a lot of physical work. Again, functional. If they can schlep, they're in. If they can't schlep, they're out. But if their job is no longer schlepping, like in the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim, where they're not schlepping anymore, like in the desert, they're just singing and closing doors, and then, if they can function past the age of 50, they can go on. Ve'no mitzvah noheget ledorot. This idea of finishing off at the age of 50, retiring, that was just in the desert. Again, when they had to schlep. Aval ledorot ein alevi nifsal bishanim, ve'lo bimumin. Alevi, he could be missing a finger. He could have his nose on the side of his face. It doesn't make a difference. Why? Because if you can play a guitar, if you can play the instruments in the Beit HaMikdash, we don't care how your fingers or how your nose looks. As opposed to the Kohanim, who they have to be without a blemish. They are more, have to be on a higher level. the Levim, it's functional. If you can play, you're in. If not, not. Ela b'kol sheyitkalkel kolom mirov hazikna yipasel avodato b'migdash. Theoretically, if a person is too old and his voice is already quivering, my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, he was a chazan, I think till the age of 70, 75, and he well past his 50s, and he was still singing strong. He had a very strong baritone, and that's no problem. As long as you can function as a Levi, you're in.
Sent to Galut and Bavel, that they chopped off a finger, maybe it was a thumb of the Levim, so they wouldn't be able to serve the Beit HaMikdash? Or was that just a functional serve? They couldn't play their instruments without their thumbs?
Ah, you know what? That Midrash rings a bell. Maybe it's because I think it's that they wouldn't be able to function playing the instrument without their thumb. Right, that's. I'm glad you pointed out that. Thank you. Right? But again, that's another proof. It's not that because they were Balei Mum. It's not because that they had a blemish. It's because they couldn't play. Again, as we've seen till now, it's a matter of functionality.
Thank you. Now, excuse me. Now,
yeah.
What about a Kohen? If he has a blemish, if he's not perfect, can he serve?
He can serve. He can eat truma. He can eat the holy sacrifices. He can eat the holy tithes. He's on a higher level than everyone else still. But the Torah says that we want those who represent us to God, they have to be without a blemish. And there's a list in the Torah.
God likes people with blemishes too. God is good for everybody.
Definitely.
So,
Your question... Right. There's your question is asked really by very many, maybe most of the commentaries, because according to Judaism, we say God loves everyone. God created everyone. We're supposed to love everyone. We're not supposed to look outwardly at the blemish. Nevertheless, for the same reason that the Holy Temple was made of gold and silver and diamonds, all right, in daily life, we're not supposed to be concerned with gold or silver or diamonds. But the idea is, explains the Sefer HaChinuch, the Holy Temple has to be respected by the people. People are not perfect. And that is why if people see a blemish as something negative, that would disallow a Kohen. But, I'll mention parenthetically, it's subjective to the place. For example, if a place is used to seeing a person, a Kohen, who has six fingers, for example, then that blemish in that place, it doesn't disallow him. In other words, the idea that a Kohen has to be very well respected in the eyes of the people. Just like the gold and the silver, the Beit HaMikdash, is also supposed to be well-respected in the eyes of the people. People, you know what? I'll even add something. I'll point out, Nomi's point is one of the great developments in the modern era. The idea of democracy really has taken off and has matured over the last two or three decades. I remember as a kid that if somebody was born crippled, people used to laugh at them to their face sometimes. And I remember in my grandfather's shul, they had a nickname in Yiddish for, there was a Moshe the Stammler, Moshe the one who stutters, and then there was Itzig the Langer, right, the tall and thin guy, and then there was a Klein, is the shorty, and people used to be a lot less sensitive, and I think one of the good points of that democracy has really developed over the last couple of decades is that, yes, we today are more sensitive to the needs of the special needs of people, right? That's an important point. Thank you. Okay, the Rambam continues in Halacha Yud. V'chein halavim atzmam muzarim shelo yaseh echad melechet chavero. If your job is to sing, you're not allowed to close the doors. And if your job is to close the doors, you're not allowed to sing. Shelo yisayam shorer l'shorer v'lo ha-shorer l'mashorer. Shenemar ish ish al avodat al val masa'o. Again, we see again the functionality. Everybody has their function. And that is the beauty of the symbolism of the Levi. I remember as a kid... I remember as a kid, I used to watch a lot of football. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the Green Bay Packers were the kings in the 1960s. And everybody knew the quarterback, Bart Starr, and Jim Taylor, and Doug Horning, the running backs, right? There's some players who are the most famous, and they make the most money, and they're touching the ball the most. But in 1967, in the championship against the Dallas Cowboys, it was Jerry Kramer, one of the linemen, who made a million-dollar block, taking Jethro Pugh out of the picture, and he made the linemen. Who are the linemen? The linemen are big, 300, 350-pound guys. They can't touch the ball. They can't run with the ball. They're used as things, as objects. They just push people out of the way. And they usually make less money, and they're a lot less famous than everyone. That is like the Levi'im. When Jerry Kramer brought the Green Bay Packers to the Super Bowl, that was the unsung heroes. Those who usually, they're not the superstars. The Kohen are the superstars. The Levim are the schleppers. It's like in, sometimes somebody, I remember on game shows on television, they used to say, "What do you do?" And often the women, especially in the 60s and 70s, they would say, "I'm just a housewife." Judaism says there is no such thing as just a housewife, or just a farmer, or just... And the beauty of Am Yisrael, especially as a living nation in the land of Israel, is that not everybody is meant to be a Torah scholar. Not everybody is meant to be the quarterback or the superstar. As a matter of fact, most people are not the superstars. Most people are electricians and plumbers, and not everybody can be a doctor. And part of the beauty of having a Jewish state is that even the electricians are Jewish. And the farmers, the kibbutzniks, and that Jews can and do everything. This is what the Gemara in Chulin says, Kracha dekulabe. The Jewish people are a city with tzadikim, benonim, urishaim, tzibur. We have upper class, we have lower class, we have aristocrats, we have the farmers. But who is milaveh, who accompanies them all? That is the job of the Levi. Judaism says there is no such thing as just another mitzvah. That's just another mitzvah. Every single mitzvah is important, just like every letter in the Sefer Torah. If a Torah scroll is missing even one letter, it's not kosher. And this is the concept of Yisrael, is the abbreviation Yud Shin Resh Aleph Lamed Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiot LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, like the 600,000 Jewish souls who left Egypt. Every Jew has their letter in the Torah. And there's no such thing as just another Jew, just another mitzvah. Right. Right. Exactly. Rav Kook says it beautifully in Orot HaKodesh. There's a term there, en koten begodel. There is nothing small regarding something big. In a symphony, you don't say, he's just a tuba, right? The tuba is not very musical. right? Or those guys who play the cymbals, or we used to laugh at the triangle. You know, when do you hear a triangle? But a symphony without a triangle, or a tuba, or any of the roles is not a symphony. And this is the symbolism of the Levi. Anyway, we have to get back. We have to go on. So what does this have to do with Lashon Hara? So the Rav Kook says in paragraph 4 that the Levim, who are the external speakers in day-to-day life in the land of Israel, they are the ones who are responsible for speaking words of wisdom, for speaking Torah. And if they're not doing their job, and if the people of Israel are not supporting the Levi, they have the sickness of Askara, where they are not able to speak. Midah keneged midah. If they're not supporting proper speech, they're going to be punished with not being able to speak. The same thing in paragraph, hey, haktzavot mitachdim. The extremes unite. This is something we've seen before in Rav Kook, where Rav Kook stresses, based on the Zohar, that in a round world, the further you get from one point, the more you return to it. There is no such thing as opposites in the world. And boys and girls in kindergarten, people think they're opposites. You grow up and you realize they're not opposites. And plus and minus, mankind, primitive man, always thought that plus and minus are opposites. And it took thousands of years till we realized that that's what makes electricity. There are no opposites, because there's one God who created everything. And just like the Kohanim and Israelites are not opposites, you have the Levi'im as the glue in the middle, Lilavot, Milave, Levi, to accompany both of them. So too, the Ktzavot Mitachdim, the extremes unite regarding speech. Regarding good speech of the Torah and the wisdom and the singing of the Levim, and it unites with the Lashon Hara of those who speak bad. So if you speak bad, you can get this choking disease. And if you don't support the Levi, you can get this choking disease. And see, Rav Kook is pointing out the common denominator between Hachayim Vamavet Biyad HaLashon. That if you speak well, you bring life and godliness and help. And if you hurt people with negative speech, you're mamash doing the opposite. So here we see...
You hurt yourself.
That's also true, right?
Yeah.
Now let's go to what does Rav Kook do with the Pasuk? In paragraph Vav, Rav Kook says... So in the meantime, we answer the first two questions, right? The first question was, why does the Gemara talk about Maser to the Levi and not Truma to the Kohen? And Rav Kook is pointing out that's exactly the point. The Levi is, yes, he's an unsung hero, but to a certain extent, if we don't have these unsung heroes in the functional, visible, day-to-day life, then the Kohanim also can't function. And we don't have that Echad, we don't have the Ahava. We answer the second question. What is the connection between Lashon Hara and the Levi'im and Ma'aser, that they're both about speech, good speech and bad speech? And the final question is, how does this Pasuk from Tehillim, again, I'll read the Pasuk again, Va'melech Yismach Be'Elohim, the king will rejoice with God. Let's already explain it. Rav Kook says the king, that is the Kohanim. The Kohen is the highest level. They rejoice with God, with their special level of spirituality. Yitalel kol anishbabo. The Levim are those who sing. The Kohanim don't sing. It's the Levim who sing. All those who swear in the name of God. Swearing in the name of God is a more secular thing. It deals with monetary issues. I swear that I didn't steal. This represents the Levim. Ki yisacher pi dovre sheker. That God will damn, D-A-M-M. He will stick a dam in the throat of those who don't speak well. That is for those who don't support the Levi, who are necessary for the Kohen, and are necessary for the Yisrael, And also for those who don't speak properly, those who speak Lashon Hara. Let's just see it in the end.
Dam with one M, sorry.
Dam with one M, sorry. What I meant is dam, not D-A-M-N. That's what I meant. Ki yisacher pidovre sheker, paragraph Zion, vasichrun hazeh, this shutting up, yiromein b'matzav inuyav et regesh romamuta dibur, like we saw last time. And when does a person appreciate speech? When you can't speak. If a person is in a tanit dibur and he accepts on himself not to speak for a day, that's when you really appreciate speech. Somebody who has laryngitis appreciates speech. The individual and the nation of Israel will all know to honor and give respect to the power of speech, of that of the Levim, and also not to speak Lashon Hara. And that's why this sickness of not being able to speak is an educational punishment.